Today's epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand that the will of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, over the past 2 weeks, we have, the lectionary has been taking us on a slow, careful read through the book of Ephesians. Now, I know it's probably not going to come as a big surprise to most of you that the scholars, they have some difficulty agreeing on this book. They don't know who the author is. Tradition says it was Paul, but there's some indication that it was written later than that. But of course, we don't know exactly when it was written, and we don't know why it was written. And yet, despite the debate that rages around those three things, it all stops the moment you talk about intent. It's impossible to read the book and not understand exactly why it was written. As far as the writer is concerned, the unity of Christ's body, the church, must be nurtured and defended at all cost. And so with this goal in mind, the first thing you may recall the writer told us was that we had to stop acting like children. Instead of buying into whatever story or rumor happens to be popular at the moment, Christians are told that they must be gentle and patient, willing to listen, pray for, and above all, accept each other in love so the unity of the Spirit can be preserved. And those of you who were here last week, I hope you remember that the Scripture says quite plainly, go ahead and be mad. That's fine. Be mad. Just don't sin. Easier said than done, isn't it? Because to be mad and not sin means putting aside things like bitterness and jealousy, slander and revenge. According to the author, these all too common responses have to be replaced with things like kindness, compassion, and a willingness to forgive. And that brings us to today's reading. And in this reading, what we learn is that not all obstacles to the unity of the body can be found within the congregation. After all, we don't exist in isolation. The Scripture says that we live in a sinful world. But what we have to know is that what it is saying is that we live in a world where God's laws are often superseded by human desires. And whenever our human desires become primary in our lives, God's laws begin to slip. And the moment God's laws begin to slip and lose their primacy, we as a human race get into trouble every time. And so the scriptures say, beware. We live in a sinful time. And so we're told we have to live wisely. We have to be cautious if we expect to do God's will. In other words, as Christians, we can't compartmentalize our lives. We can't be religious in here and secular out there. Because whatever we learn in here has to be lived out there. And that, of course, means that we have to live in such a way that we're cautious. That we think carefully and clearly. If we're going to let our faith shine through our secular lives, then we have to be willing to live in such a way that Christ's light shines through us. And that's not always an easy thing to do. In his book, Mending the Common Ground, Jason Vickers writes, "The truth is that as the church, we don't need one more demographic or generational study to figure out what people are looking for. In the midst of workplaces full of resentment and hostility, people are searching for love. Surrounded by anxiety and depression, people are looking for joy. Amid the violence and insanity of city streets and war-torn countries, people are searching high and low for peace. Faced with spouses and co-workers who lose their tempers at a moment's notice, people are looking for self-control. Amid rampant road rage, people are in desperate need of patience. Against the backdrop that is the harshness and cruelty of the evening news, people will inevitably be driven to churches that exhibit gentleness and kindness in every aspect of their lives." So how do we become those people? How do we become the people who offer the joy, the peace, the safe sanctuary to others who are hurting? How do we become the voice of reason in the midst of insanity? After all, we face the same obstacles as the disappointments and outbursts and threats as everyone else. We can all list those moments when we have become victims. We all harbor disappointments. And yes, sometimes we hold on to our grudges. But if we're going to become the Church of Jesus Christ, if we want to be a body that is so unified in Christ's love, then at the risk of sounding harsh, we have to stop throwing ourselves so many pity parties. We have to stop thinking the things are tougher for us than they've been tougher for anyone in history. And we have to stop believing that life is ganging up on us and only us. Almost 2,000 years ago, in a place called Ephesus, people were facing almost the identical situation we're facing today. Violence, or the threat of violence, surrounded the people wherever they went. They didn't feel safe in the streets, and they didn't feel safe in their house. They were always looking over their shoulder for a Roman soldier or a pagan priest. Christians and Jews. Well, there were laws that protected the Jews because they were a minority, and as long as they behaved, no one worried about them. But when the Christians came along, people got a little worried. So the laws changed. And as a result, Jews and Christians were in the definite minority. They had difficulty holding on to their families, and they had difficulty attracting people in the first place. Society was in a flux. Standards were changing. People were becoming mobile. One generation didn't understand the other. And all of that was being mirrored in the church. As a result, misunderstandings and disagreements were the rule, not the exception. Now, some people say that the book of Ephesians was written because the church was in danger of collapse. Others say, no, that's not the truth. What was happening was a congregation somewhere finally had it all together. And they were afraid that there would be outside influences that would come in and destroy the peace and unity that they had. And so the letter was written as a way to guide them through the process. But for whatever reason it was written, the advice that the author of Ephesians gives us is very strong and pertinent to our day. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, the world may be evil. And yes, we may become discouraged, disappointed, and overwhelmed. And yet, despite everything that can and so often does go wrong, Christians should be anything but dismal and pessimistic. After all, we're not governed by the world. We're not controlled by anger or the opinions of others. We don't have to feast on self-centeredness or greed. All we have to do is allow Christ's Spirit to fill us with love, respect, honor, and praise. And as we sing His song, as we give thanks in all times and in all ways, then who knows? Maybe, just maybe, somebody will hear our melody. And in doing so, they will decide to sing along. So in all ways and in all places, sing to the Lord. To God be the glory, and all God's people say, Amen.